so we ask that as we gather together that you would speak to us through your word. We need to hear from you in these times. And so we trust you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good afternoon. Not quite yet. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 76. Psalm 76, 1 through 12. It's only 12 verses. And our topic this morning is the awesome God. The awesome God. It says, God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. His tabernacle is in Salem. His dwelling place also is in Zion. There he broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war. Selah, meaning imagine that, or wow. You are resplendent, more majestic than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They sank into sleep, and none of the warriors could use his hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse were cast into a deep sleep. You, even you, are to be feared. And who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the humble of the earth, Selah. For the wrath of man shall praise you. With a remnant of wrath you will gird yourself. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let all who are around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. He will cut off the spirit of princes. He is feared by the kings of the earth. This psalm came to me as I was thinking about the fact that when we pray most of the time, we have a grocery list of things that we come to God with. Is that what we do? Especially in this COVID time when things are hard and stressful. You come before God to pray, and by the time you say, Lord, who art in heaven, your next thing is to list out all the things that you want and that you need. And it came to me that we need to take a minute every now and then and just stop and just realize who it is that we worship, who God is. And so as I thought about it, this psalm really made me concentrate on him, on his majesty and his great glory. This psalm focuses our minds upon God in a special way. The word awesome, we use it a lot in our daily vernacular. Everything is awesome. And my job, they have a way to try and keep you pumped up. So they talk about, don't talk about negativity. Don't say anything negative. So you say something to somebody, you say, how are you? Oh, I'm having an awesome day. And so we have really relegated this word to something that really doesn't mean what it means. Here's what the word awesome means. Causing and inspiring our overwhelming feeling of reverence, admiration, or fear. So the word awesome, it causes an overwhelming feeling of reverence, adoration, or fear. And so I want us to look at God as an awesome God, a God who inspires and overwhelms us with a feeling of reverence or admiration for how wonderful he is, or fear, which is reverent fear, where we really respect him. You know, as I thought about that and I started to look, the theologians say that this psalm was written by Asaph, meaning his descendants, after Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came against Judah during the time of Hezekiah. In 2 Kings 18 and 19, there's a story of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And Hezekiah is there, and he is a godly king. And Sennacherib, who is the king of Assyria, sends his Rabshakeh, who is like the prime minister, to come and to talk to Hezekiah and to intimidate him into giving up the kingdom. And he says to him, do you think that you are depending on Egypt, who is like a broken reed that when you hold it, it sticks you in your hand? Or do you think that you are depending on your God to save you from me? And the men who meet Rabshakeh says to him, don't talk to us in the Judean language. Talk to us in Aramaic, because the regular people won't understand. And the Rabshakeh said, listen, I am talking in your regular language because I want your people to come out and come to me. Don't believe what Hezekiah said. And here's what had happened before. The first time when they threatened Hezekiah, Hezekiah took the gold and everything out of the temple and sent it to Sennacherib. That is in 2 Kings chapter 17 and 18. He sent it as a peace offering, and yet still Sennacherib came and attacked Judah. And so now, Rabshakeh is telling them all this stuff and scaring them, trying to make them not believe in God. And in the meantime, he is attacking other countries around and other cities around. And the Rabshakeh goes back to Sennacherib as he is in the town of Lachish. You can read it when you get a chance. And Sennacherib sends him back to Hezekiah. And this time he says to him, verse 10, do you have it there for me, my brother? 2 Kings 19, verse 10. Sennacherib says to the Rabshakeh, thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do you understand what he's saying? Don't let your God deceive you. And if you read the whole passage, he says, listen, I attacked some other towns and their gods thought they could keep them from me. But nobody can stop me because I'm going through the land and I'm taking over whoever I want to take over. And sometimes in life, you and I feel like things are taking us over, things we have no control over. That's why Pastor sang those songs this morning. When pain in your back. Amen? Only me when I have pain in my back. You guys are young and strong. You don't have them pain. God is your deliverer. And so when Hezekiah gets this letter, he goes into the temple and he spreads it out in the temple before the Lord. And he prays to the Lord. And the prophet says to him, don't you worry. He is going to go back the way he came. And God sends and kills 185,000 of the soldiers that had encamped against Jerusalem. Not one of the Israelites or people of Judah took up arms against this great king who had come. And the king went back home. And when he went back home, he went into the temple of his God. Some of the theologians call him Nimrod, some call him Nishrak. But no matter what his name is, he goes into the temple, and two of his servants come and kill him right there in the temple. And I am saying to you this morning that that is why this psalm was written. a psalm of praise to God because God is awesome all by himself. And there are two ways that you and I sometimes look at God. We don't realize how awesome and great and wonderful he is. And because we are Christians, you know, and Jesus is my brother, and we kind of push aside the fact that God is a great, mighty, and a God to be feared. And some of us, even though we are Christian, we have a little thing that we love and we cling to it, and we don't realize that God is a God who is awesome and glorious and is to be feared. Sometimes we're a little bit too familiar with this God. And so, you know, all we can do is like a wee yard boy. So, boy, I may need some money this week. Lord, give me some money this week. Because if you love me, you then make sure me have plenty of money. And my back a hurt me. So, Lord, deliver me from the pain of back. Because I can't limber. And me have 5 more miles to go walk. You guys who are Jamaicans, you don't know that song. Huh? And so we think that God is just there to serve us. The reason he serves us is because of his grace. But he is an awesome God. He is a God who should inspire in us a feeling of reverence, of admiration, and of fear. So let us look in 3 different areas in this passage. And I'm quick today. I'm not going to keep us long. We don't want no COVID, so we don't stay together too long. I find in this passage 3 reasons to praise the God that we know. Amen? The first reason is found in the first 3 verses of this passage. Look at it with me from verse 1 through verse 3. It says, God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. His tabernacle is in Salem. His dwelling place also is in Zion. There he broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war. Selah, consider it. If you know him, praise him, because you are one of his people in Jerusalem, because in your life you know him, because in your workplace you know him, because in your circumstances you have known him, he deserves to be praised. In Psalm 99 and verse 3, he says, let them praise your wonderful or your awesome name. You see that word again? Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. He deserves our praise. So do you know him? Do you know his goodness? Have you seen him work in your circumstances? Do you know that he is God all by himself? All the other gods of the other nations, they are but idols. So when Sennacherib sent that letter to Hezekiah, he's saying, listen, the other gods couldn't save them from me. But Hezekiah knew that his God was God. Capital G-O-D. So do you know that he is God? Then praise him. You know that he is in his tabernacle in Salem, and I had to look it up. When I read that thing about Salem, I'm saying, where that come from? And then it came back as I read and studied a little more. You remember when Abraham, this is in Genesis, Abraham, Genesis 14, Abraham went and fought some kings and destroyed them. And when he came back, they met him, a man named Melchizedek. Verse 18 of Genesis 14 says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And if you read Hebrews, it tells you more about the fact that Jesus is from the priesthood of Melchizedek, not from the Aaronic priesthood. He had no beginning and no end. The God that we serve is a great and mighty God. He is awesome, and he deserves our praise because he dwells in his tabernacle in Salem. Nobody knows the beginning or the end of our God. He's a great and mighty God. You should say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Where you live, God is there. Where you work, God is there. Where you gather with your friends, God is there. He stands strong. He is the God above all gods. Secondly, if you see his gloriousness, and when I wrote down this word, I said, I don't really think there's a word in the Bible that named gloriousness. This is from verse 4 to verse 9. But look at what verse 4 says as we continue. Verse 4, the first part says, you are resplendent. You see that word? That's the word me call gloriousness. You're so bright and beautiful and wonderful. His glory and majesty. Turn with me, Exodus chapter 19. Just want you to get a glimpse. Verse 18 through 25. Brother Justin, can you make that bigger for me? I can't read from here. Exodus 19. Now, Mount Sinai was in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. We don't think of God like that. How we think of God? I just milico, you know, milico idol when I put on the shelf, and when me need him, me go pray to him and beg him something. But look, God descended. This is at the time when he was going to give the law to Moses. He descended upon Sinai. And the mountain was in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. Go ahead, my brother. Excuse me. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, and let me stop and tell you something. It wasn't Israel blowing trumpet. Hello? It wasn't Israel blowing trumpet. When God came down on the mountain, there was the sound of the trumpet. And you know, one of these days we're going to hear that sound. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, it's going to happen again. But for you and I as Christians and God's people, I want you to understand that when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him with thunder. You see who we're talking about? I know my friend. He's my God. I got to bow in front of him. I can't fathom him. He's greater than my mind. God answered him with thunder. And we're going to go down because I don't want to keep you all day. The Lord came down on the mountain of Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. But I want you to understand that the people, Moses had called them, let us go down to verse 16 and 17, my brother, of that same Exodus 19. Make it bigger for me, no man. Yes. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain. This is before God even came, you know. Huh? And a very loud trumpet sounded so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. You and I have to understand that the God that we serve is so magnificent, so powerful, so great that he deserves our bowing down before him. We can't climb up close to him. We stop at the foot of the mountain and we shudder because of his greatness. When you understand that God is sovereign, you bow down. Let us jump real quick. Verse 10 and 12 of Psalm 76. I'm going real fast this morning. For the wrath of man shall praise you. With a remnant of wrath, you will gird yourself. I want us to understand that the God that we serve, not only is he great and mighty, not only is he powerful, but he is also sovereign. And so, even the wrath of man he uses for his own glory. In the same story, of Sennacherib. Sennacherib goes home and he goes into his temple, and his two servants or sons, some say his son, some say his servant, they go and kill him right in the temple. Because they're angry. The wrath of man will serve God's purpose. Think about it. How many things God saved us from? Pastor mentioned it in his, as he was leading us. How many things God saved us from that we don't even know? We don't even know. Yes. Sometimes you plan for God to do something or you plan for go somewhere. And all of a sudden, the car give you trouble. My thing now in the morning when I'm trying to get out on time and for some reason I can't leave the house, I learn to just cool myself. I used to get myself so worked up because I like to reach work about 5 or 10 minutes before so that when I walk in, I can sit down and make a cup of tea, eat a bagel, and nobody no bother me because I'm not 9 o'clock yet. But some mornings, you try your best, and why you can't find 1 foot of your shoes. That ever happened to you yet? Or your key, you always hang your key on the hook. And that one night before, you're not thinking, you left the key on the dresser. And you go down to the hook, and you start searched like crazy. And you can't find the key, and you get mad, and you get upset. Where the key gone? Who touched the key? And after you take 10 minutes looking, you find it right on the dresser where you leave it the night before. And you know what you do when you get in your car? Nobody try to do 80 miles an hour. Just chill. Because you don't know what God has saved you from. God is sovereign. And I am learning it day by day. It has to come from up here and go down here. It's not just your head knowledge that God is sovereign. You have to know in your life that God is sovereign. So yes, there are certain things you want to achieve, certain things you want to do, but sometimes the door just shut. And you have to just chill because God is sovereign and he sees more than you. Maybe that morning if you had left on time, some idiot would have cut you off and you run in an accident, kill yourself. But God keep you home an extra 5 minutes so that when you reach there, the idiot gone already. And neither you nor him nor killing yourself. God in his sovereignty knows the beginning from the end. And so he deserves our praise. Sometimes chill out, man. Chill out. Stop stressing yourself. And a Dwight may I talk to you, no? A Dwight may I talk to my wife can tell you, say, when Dwight ready for stress. Chill out. God is sovereign. Take it easy. If you know him, praise him. If you see his gloriousness, if you see how resplendent he is, give him the glory and praise. Realize that he's majestic. He is above every other God. No matter what people say, no matter how they want to show you how big and bad they are, God bigger and badder than them. He is resplendent in his glory. And if you focus on his sovereignty, praise him. This morning, I encourage you as I encourage myself. When you go to pray, take a little time to focus on God. Who he is. Focus on his glory. Focus on his majesty. Focus on how awe-inspiring he is. Put aside the begging a little bit. Just focus on him. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. Oh, majesty, kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own. His anthem raised. Can you stand with me? So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship you because of who you are. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. Amen.